Welcome to the Virtual Power Teams podcast, the number one podcast for working remotely and building powerful virtual teams. My name is Peter Ivanov, international keynote speaker and author of the book Virtual Power Teams, translated in six languages. Tune in every Tuesday for the very latest in virtual leadership or visit my website, peter-ivanov.com.
And welcome to the Virtual Power Teams podcast. And today we have an exciting guest, Dominik Jarch. Dominik is an entrepreneur with a track record and founder of company. He is currently a manager in a multinational company. He is also a people leader. Every time we meet, I'm impressed by the level of care about leading people. And now today he comes with a new capacity to kind of give us inspiration and insight. How can we integrate AI, artificial intelligence, robots, automation, in teams where we usually have people? He has some exciting stories to tell. So welcome, Dominik. Please tell us briefly who you are and what you do.
Yeah, thank you, Peter, for the quick introduction. My name is Dominik. And actually, I started working for a consulting company from the beginning of my career. I'm an engineer. And then I changed my role being part of a company that we developed. The name was SkyTender. I was working with a good old former colleague of you, right? And there it was my job to really grow that company, to build that company, build the product portfolio. And, you know, after that, my wife and we always said, you know, whenever we have the chance to go abroad, we will take that chance. So our plan was to go to Miami and to work and live there. And so I had to quit. And unfortunately, just 2 hours after we left our apartment, we got the call and it said, this is not going to happen. So you will not go there. There's a travel ban due to Corona. And now you don't have a job. You don't have an apartment anymore. And by very good luck, I was in touch with Chivo already. They have an internal active sourcing department, and they approached me, and this is why I got in touch with Chivo and started working for this company. First of all, as a strategic position, really pushing the transformation and driving digital transformation. And now I'm responsible for a department of 43 people, partly sitting in Hong Kong, partly sitting in Hamburg. And, you know, one of my big challenges is, you know, getting the work done we have, right? Mm-hmm. And there is not enough people out there doing all that work. So we kind of try to find automation solutions and introduce digital colleagues to do our work. Yeah.
Excellent. Lovely. So you're having a virtual Teams, and this is the Virtual Power Team podcast. Perhaps you could share also some insights. But let's now go to the technology. Too much work to do. Let's reach out to our, you know, automation friends, being yes, AI or robots. What is the role actually of AI and robots in your current role? What is, you know, the scope and how do you deal with it?
You know, I'd like to start with a very basic case. So you can imagine we have very smart engineers and developing a lot of products and packaging for all that. And still there is so much, you know, basic email work to do. And when I started this new role, I saw that and it was kind of hurting me seeing those smart people doing such basic work. And this is why we said, you know, we need some kind of automation help. And I firstly was introduced to this robotic process automation technology, which is, you know, you can imagine you're sitting in front of your desktop and then the mouse is like moving from the left to the right and clicking somewhere. It's like having someone sitting in front of the computer and just doing work. So this is what RPA basically does. It does what you can do on a desktop PC. And
RPA stands for, just for our audience,
robotic process automation.
Excellent. Okay.
And you know, we, well, I found this like a wonderful technology with a colleague of mine. And we were quite sure that we have chances to use that and to make it help us. And the basic question was, you know, how can we implement it in a way that people really accept it? And how can we implement it in a way that people really understand what it, what it's, what it can do and what it cannot do? And how can we implement it in a way that people are not afraid of maybe losing their job because now a robot is doing all that, right?
Yes.
And well, we said, you know, we need to make it look as human as possible, to make it less abstract as possible. And this is why we decided to kind of give, you know, these robots names, and really profiles. And and also a story, where is this new colleague coming from, right? So what we did is we introduced Brian to our team. And the story was that, you know, you might know the Backstreet Boys, right, Peter?
Which one?
The Backstreet Boys?
Yes, sure.
All right. So the story was, you know, there is, you know, one of those guys, his name is Brian.
Yes.
And unfortunately, he lost his voice and he actually really lost his voice in the past. And now Brian was kind of writing my team a kind of hello email saying, hey, my name is Brian. You know, I lost my voice. I cannot sing anymore. But I'm able to do this and that work, basic work. I can, you know, I can search emails. I can store the stuff that is in the those emails and all that. And, you know, I'm not very smart, actually. And I don't know if Brian Little was too smart, but we said our Brian was not too smart, but he would work quite hard. So if we explain the job very clearly to him, he would do it 24/7 for us. So this is how we introduced Brian to our team. And people were like, you know, who is this Brian? What, where does it come from? And he already had a email address, which was brian@chivo.de. And the email was coming from @chivo.de. And then they were like interested, you know, there's a Brian, he wants to do all that basic work for us. Who is it? So, and then we explained, yeah, it's a robot actually. But by this, he really got a face. And yeah, people quite quickly understood, okay, these are the abilities of the robot and these are not. And we also gave him a picture so that people would have a face in their head. And yeah, and then we started to write a job description for Brian because he would like to work for Chivo, right? And we asked the team, hey, this would be a job description for Brian. How do you like it? Do you think you can collaborate with him? And this is how we kind of actively and cohesively, you know, described Brian and what he is supposed to do for us. And then we, you know, we also had a kind of welcoming party for Brian. So there was a day and we said, now Brian is coming, let's celebrate him. And we played some Backstreet Boys music as well. And so he was rather human than a robot. And he was really welcomed. And we also said, you know, like with every new colleague, you got to be patient. Sometimes you got to explain again and again. And, you know, you cannot expect good results from the beginning. So please give him the chance. Let's train him 3 months, like every human, we would do it with humans like that as well. And this worked out very, very good. So now we have that Brian. And afterwards, because we are diverse, we introduced Kate. And because, yeah, Kate, Kate was also doing like basic stuff. So I had a different job profile for a different team. And because we like dogs, and unfortunately we are not allowed to bring dogs here, but we got Fred. Fred is a dog. So our third robot was Fred. So we are bringing all these kind of humanized robots to our team, having clear job descriptions and introducing themselves.
Amazing, amazing story. I have a number of questions. Usually introducing technology and now with ChatGPT and so on, people are afraid. As you said, people are afraid.
Yes.
We're redundant, we won't be needed. What happens to my job? And so on. And you found a very, very human way to introduce it. How was the reaction of the people, you know, the party and so on? Was there any concerns? You know, you did brilliant change management in a sense, humanizing or, you know, animalizing like Fred, introduction of the robots. What was the reaction? What's the feedback you got and what's the adoption rate?
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, it was different to any former automation ideas, right? Mm-hmm. So there was, you know, people maybe are used to saying no to such stuff because of the past. But due to the fact that we found a new way to implement it, there was some kind of new openness for it, right? Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, we always had the clear target to really build a team between the robot and the human being.
Yes.
And we also had the clear target to really help ourselves. Mm-hmm. So, you know, by not talking too much about how much full-time equivalent is it worth, by not too much talking about, you know, what will we not do, we were rather focusing on all the benefits that Brian, Fred, Kate could bring to our team. Mm-hmm. And I think this was really helpful. People really trust us that we do not do this to get rid of employees or to get, you know, to have less employees and more robots. They understood that we do it to get rid of work that engineers are not supposed to do and to have more time to do things we like. Mm-hmm. And we were quite serious about that idea, and people started to trust us, and this is how it basically mm-hmm. really worked. Yeah.
Okay. Can you just briefly say what is the scope? What actually, you know, Brian and Kate and yeah. Fred do, just like very high level?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure. So you can imagine, let's talk about the packaging team, right? Yes. Packaging team is engineers, and, you know, we are developing 5,000 plus products every year, and they are supposed to develop the packaging for these products, right? Mm-hmm. And they gotta specify, you know, the packaging for these products. And, you know, it's not like we do it individually for each product. There are some standards that we can use. Sometimes it's very individualized, but often we use those standards. And in case of these standards, like an engineer has to choose which standard should we use for that product. Then he has to click through this system, maybe also put it in an email, send it over to a purchasing organization, and they do the job, and then we get information back and we have to implement it into the system. It's like we have interfaces that don't work perfectly, right? Mm-hmm. Because systems are abroad and processes are new and all that. And this is what Brian is for. It's perfect for new processes to build interfaces between these systems and to make data flow mm-hmm. Without having manual work. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. And Kate and Fred do the same, or they have started from spin?
No, they do different things.
Or different department, but it's about process as well, or they have?
It's also business processes, yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about Fred, for example. This is the technical documentation team.
Yes.
So if you have products, electronic products, you gotta, you know, come up with a technical documentation. Mm-hmm. And this has a lot of information included from many, many departments. So it's like quality information, it's production information, sourcing country information, many information. And, these are sometimes in different systems or at suppliers or wherever it comes from. And in the past we had, you know, a technical writer had to really collect these information until he had all information ready, and then he could really start doing his job.
Yes.
And this is not very sexy, you know, to collect information. So what Fred is doing, Fred is, you know, collecting all these information, putting it together in a very, very nice, neat way. And then our technical writer really starts when it when the job makes fun, right? Doing the technical documentation, not all the collecting. So this is, for example, what Fred, the dog, is doing for us.
Yes. Perfect. So you gave us a lot of ideas already. Let me ask you, and I absolutely love the way that you try to integrate and humanize, and these robots become part of the team. And that's why we have the podcast integrating, you know, robots and AI. What would be your number one advice for people which now start to implement, you know, to integrate AI or robots?
Okay, so if I just have one advice, I think the one advice would be build trust. Mm-hmm. So if you have really the trust in, we will give you something that is helpful. Mm-hmm. Then you generate openness for new stuff. Mm-hmm. Because oftentimes, you know, we are talking about ideas, transformation, la, 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 but nothing is really coming to the employee bringing big value. So you need really build trust that you have an openness on that team. You also need to build trust that what you're doing is not something you do against the employee, it's something you do to support the employee. So you need that trust for transformation and new technology. So I would say building trust is the number one.
Yes.
But for sure, there are other things that are helpful. Yeah.
Yes. And how can you do that? You know, humanizing, giving names, welcome party, these are great ways. Anything else in order to build the trust?
Well, you gotta be trustful, right? You gotta do what you say, and you gotta do what you say. So you shouldn't say, "Hey, it's able to do the world," but it's not. You should say it's able to do this, but this is something that it's not able to do, right? Mm-hmm. And you should give a clear introduction. I mean, if you and me meet each other, Peter, we would introduce ourselves. Mm-hmm. And this is building trust. Implementing new technology without really introducing it to the human beings who are working with it, this is not really building trust. So this is something you could really do. Explain how is it working? What is it able to do? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Walk the talk, the classics. Okay, and now being a manager of a virtual team, also with the support of technology and robots, humanized, what would be your advice for people leading international virtual teams, with or without technology, but maybe with robots?
Well, I think besides the trust thing, which is working there as well, right? I think one major point is having a really clear joint target and breaking it down to really clear roles and responsibilities so that it is really starting to work together. Because oftentimes you have parallel organizations, same people are doing the same job there and there, and then there is a competition starting up. This is not helping. Yes. And I think what's also helping, especially if it's different cultures, you gotta, you know, have clear what are the differences of that culture.
Yes.
Because if you don't understand it, there might be a lot of miscommunication happen. And this is not really helping to collaborate, right? This is also strong learning from my point of view.
Yes.
Yeah.
You've touched upon three of the top four reasons for international virtual teams to fail. Number one is they fail to build trust by far. That's why they fail, most of them. And now you build trust as a manager, but also you build trust to this robot. It's with clear scope, what can, what cannot do, be patient, train, and so on. You touched upon the communication and cultural differences. And then you've touched upon the common goal. These are the top three. Actually, the top four was when the individual goals are not aligned with the team goal. Mm-hmm. And if you don't do bottom-up goal setting and people can actually align their goals up front, that happens also. So that is great. Now, last question to you, and it will be a bit futuristic. So get your crystal ball, polish it, be ready. What do you think is the future of teams where we have human team members, but also we have a robot team members? You know, also not just automating for productivity, but making decisions like fully fledged manager. There is a Chinese company which has like AI CEO, mm-hmm. who is like running the company and making yeah. decisions and so on. Now with the boom of ChatGPT, what do you think? What is the future of those hybrid teams, in a sense, human and robots?
Well, I think major mechanisms stay the same. It's always new. It's always changing the way how to work and how to get your work done. It's always changing roles and responsibilities. And this has been, it has been like that in the past, and it will be like that in the future. So these are the basic mechanisms. I think what is really changing is the tremendous speed of how it's being implemented and the speed of how quickly it comes. So I think in the past you had enough time to really build experience and to really get to know new technology and to get prepared. And this principle of, you know, I'm an engineer, so I grew up in a world where you say, hey, I study and then I'm an expert for my whole life. And I think this principle is not working in the future anymore. Mm-hmm. So it will be less preparable. It will be more shocking. And it is already, right? It is already, but it will be way quicker than it has been in the past. And I think this will also change, you know, the culture it needs to have human collaboration. Mm-hmm. So there needs to be way more openness. There needs to be very much flexibility of my role, of my job. Maybe we don't have such clear roles and responsibilities how we have it today, because it's changing too often that we cannot upgrade it every day, right? Mm-hmm. I think that is going to happen. And maybe also the idea of an expert might change. Maybe there might be no real experts on a topic because, you know, there are so many new things every day. There might be experts on learning new stuff quite quickly. So it might be more about not the expertise you bring, rather about the ability you have to, you know, update yourself and update your capabilities. Yes. So this is what might happen. Yeah.
Amazing, amazing insights. By the way, Google from day one, they claim, you know, we don't hire people for expertise, we hire people for capability to learn. So they've been scaling as we see. And I said last question, but when do you think, just a bit crystal ball, which year we will have the CEO of the company, of a major company run by AI?
That's a very interesting question. Well, the future is faster than we think. So, I mean, we see it already, right? There is at least one example we're trying to do it. And, well, it will happen at a time when people have enough trust for their technology that they feel that this technology will lead them better than human being. I don't know when this moment is. I guess it could happen quicker than we think.
Yes. Yeah. It's all about trust.
Right.
Thank you so much, Dominik. Great insights.
Thank you, Peter.
And all the audience, if you have questions, feel free to raise them and I'll share it with Dominik. Have an amazing day. And thank you.
Thank for you. Us. Thank you, Peter. It was nice talking to you again.
Thank you for listening to this week's Virtual Power Teams podcast. Review and subscribe to get the latest episodes. And remember to pick up your copy of the book Power Teams Beyond Borders to create your own virtual power team. See you next week.